49ers Fancast number 76 for February 24th, 2012. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 76th episode of the 49ers Fancast. I am your host, Indiana Jim. Today, our discussion is going to be guided by our comments section on the website. And we didn't get any voicemails in the last 2 weeks, so that's okay. You know, not a whole lot to talk about. We got the scouting combine happening right about now. And if you didn't already know, Jim Harbaugh has started his career as a ball boy for the University of Indiana Hoosiers, which, well, you know, I say University of Indiana, the Indiana University Hoosier basketball team, under the head coach Tom Crean, otherwise known as Mr. Jackie Harbaugh. So, yeah, we're at the combine. I'm not at the combine. I'm 2 hours away from the combine, but I have a regular job and a regular life and probably couldn't get in anyway. So, you know, what's the point? Anyway, I know everyone's going to be hyped up about draft prospects and everything, but this episode, we're talking about free agency and we're going back to the free agent wide receiver discussion. And we're talking a little bit more about what the 49ers are going to do in free agency with their own players as well. And first up, let's talk contracts, specifically the one for Alex Smith. And I heard a rumor, I saw the rumor posted on Niners Nation, and I guess it was from Jason Lockenfora, speculating that a contract for Alex Smith would be 6 years, $60 million. And of course, a lot of people went, whoa, $10 million a year just for, you know, being better than he was? And somebody made an interesting point, I think, that this particular contract would be would have several escape clauses in it if he were to, unfortunately, you know, not pan out to whatever they want him to be. And I don't think that, I think what's going to happen is if they sign him to a long-term deal, like a six-year deal, like a Kevin Cobb type deal that people are speculating about, I think a lot of people are going to be like, whoa, why are we paying him this much money? This is ridiculous. This is stupid. And before you get all excited, I will remind you that this will probably not be a guaranteed money contract. And they're talking about locking him up for long term because he gets the security knowing if I do my job and I do it well, I've got a place to play. The 49ers, obviously, are smart enough to understand that sometimes things don't work out for the long term. Rashawn Woods. And, put some escape clauses in there. And I'm just kind of rambling here. But you understand my point, is that when the contract eventually gets told to us what it's going to be, a lot of people are going to freak out. And I don't want my audience freaking out. I want my audience prepared to look at the actual numbers, which I know you usually will be. And that's really all I have regarding Alex Smith. And it's an interesting idea, I guess, long-term, lots of money, escape clauses, when I'm speculating on like a three-year, not small money deal, but three-year decent money deal. Who knows? I don't know what they're going to do. Obviously, we don't want to count too much against the cap, but we're in really good shape against the salary cap. And this brings me to another hot free agent topic, I think, is Ahmad Brooks. And I saw a report or a rumor or whatever that he was going to be expecting a big money deal. And okay, I mean, it's fine, I guess. I don't think he's worth a big money deal. He's definitely, as I said last episode, he's definitely been a good opposite to Harrelson and Alden Smith on the other side. But Trent Baalke made an interesting statement, and if we can believe what Trent Baalke said, then I think we understand what they're going to do with Ahmad Brooks, and I think they're going to let him walk, because somebody asked him about Alden Smith and his playing more, playing every down, being an every down player. And Trent Baalke's comment, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was basically to the extent of, yeah. So basically led me to believe that they plan on moving him into an every down role. And this seems to suggest to me that they're not going to fork over the kind of dollars it would take to keep a guy like Ahmad Brooks, and that Paris Harrelson probably will move over to the other side. And then it'll be those two out there together on the outsides. And, of course, I guess at that point when they go into four-down lineman situations, you'd have Justin Smith, Sopawaga, McDonald, and Alden Smith, maybe? I'm not sure how they would do that. Maybe it would be Justin and Ray, and then on the wings, Harrelson and Alden Smith. But it sounds like Alden Smith is going to get his shot to kind of be an every-down player. So that's good for him. And so that just makes me think that they're probably going to let Ahmad Brooks walk, because I don't think they're going to pay that kind of money, and they have Paris under contract. So look for Ahmad Brooks to not be with the 49ers next season. And I know a lot of people are like, no, I love Ahmad Brooks. Oh, he's so whatever. I mean, yeah, he's been decent. He's been decent. He hasn't been great. He hasn't. I mean, really, he hasn't been great. Sorry, it's just, you know, he's not worth the kind of money that he apparently is going to be demanding. Now, if they can get him for less, fine. But let's not break the bank for a guy who's not worth breaking the bank for. But this leads us to our next topic. And I know this has been in the news recently, but back on the 19th, Honolulu Les was on top of this. And he said, "Dear Jim, thank you for everything that you do here. You're welcome." It's very polite of you to say. "I heard an interesting idea on how to get a great player with a low first-round draft price," and everybody knows where this is going. "I hope nobody said it in listener feedback. With the new collective bargaining agreement, the 49ers could tender an offer with a roster bonus, so it counts against this coming year's salary cap, of $10 to $20 million for the Steelers' Mike Wallace, and only have to surrender their first-round draft choice." And obviously, everyone knows that this has kind of been scuttlebutt with the Niners and the Patriots in this discussion. "Mike Wallace is a free agent, young, proven 1,000-yard receiver, maybe the fastest wide receiver in the league, and the Steelers are $15 million over the salary cap and wouldn't be able to match the bid. Only problem is we're $30 million under the cap, but the Bengals are $60 million under the cap and can outbid us. This strategy would open up a lot of other blue-chip free agents like running back Arian Foster." Interesting. I hadn't thought of the Arian Foster comment, but let's see. Daryl Hanman the very next day said, talking about the same thing, talking about Mike Williams, he also talks a little bit about Alex Smith, but he says, "If we're going to go with a wide receiver in the draft, then why not get one of the fastest guys in the whole league? With Wallace as number one, Morgan number two, Crabtree number three, Williams number four, and then Davis as well at tight end, we would have a legitimate wide receiver core for Alex to throw to, because let's be honest, outside of Vernon in the second half of the season, Alex had no one, as Crabtree is nowhere near a number one wideout, number three at best. Once again, thanks and fantastic podcast. Keep it up. We'll be in contact." Well, I don't know that I would rate Crabtree so low. He's a good possession receiver. All right. He's got great hands. He runs good routes. The only problem is on the outside, on the candlestick turf, he can't make those hard cuts. So he's probably better in the slot. Like you said, you're talking about number three, but I don't think he's number three in terms of value. I think he'd be a good flanker as long as you put him in motion and you do stuff with him. As long as he's out on the field a lot, you put him in the slot position, but keep him out on the field. Break Vernon, split Vernon out wide, and then put Crabtree in the slot. Put him in, and then do that. Mix it up a little bit there. But Morgan definitely also a solid possession receiver, probably a better big play receiver than Crabtree, but just not as fast as a guy like, say, Mike Wallace, who would almost definitely be a number one kind of guy. Not sure about that. But let's look at it this way. He's as fast as Ted Ginn. He's taller, stronger, has better hands. Why not? And a lot of people are making this case, you know, the 49ers, Mike Wallace being a restricted free agent, the Steelers can't match the offer that the 49ers would make. You know, this would be the kind of deal that these guys need to make. Now, Trent Baalke, of course, preaches patience in free agency, and he doesn't make a, you know, he didn't make a lot of bold moves last year. But this year, this is a really good, legitimate shot at getting a number one receiving threat. And what else was I going to say? We're talking about tendering an offer and surrendering a 30 in the first round. Why the heck not? I mean, that's perfect. What? How old is he? 25 years old? I make this deal in a heartbeat. And I would not be surprised, would not be shocked to see the 49ers make that offer. Now, can the Patriots make something better, or can the Bengals make a better offer? I don't know. Maybe. Does Wallace want to stay in the NFC North? Does he want to play in the AFC North? Or does he want to come out to the NFC West, where there's nobody in the division who can cover him? Not one. Not one guy in the NFC West can cover Mike Wallace. So, you know, bring it. That's what I say. That would be great. A great move for the 49ers. What do you guys think? Let's see. And back up to the top of the comments. Here are some receivers that Nathaniel lists for us. Marcus Colston, Robert Meacham, Vincent Jackson, Deshaun Jackson, Dwayne Bowe, Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne, excellent idea if they could get him. I don't know that they can get him. You know, the Colts, they're still in a pretty good situation, and I think he's fairly loyal. Reggie Wayne is kind of like Josh Morgan, maybe a little faster, not much, about the same height. They kind of play a similar game. Dwayne Bowe would be fantastic, only a lot of people are speculating that the Chiefs are probably going to franchise him and be able to keep him anyway. Deshaun Jackson, you know, everybody went all, you know, all out with the Deshaun love a couple years ago, and look what he's become in Philadelphia. You know, I know people say it doesn't matter, you know, talent is talent, put him on the team, he'd be great, blah, blah, blah. Harbaugh could get to him and blah, 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 blah. You know, he just doesn't exhibit the kind of character that would fit in, I don't think. You take Crabtree and kind of his behavior after that loss and amplify it times 10 and you get Deshaun Jackson. If they can get Mike Wallace, I mean, Deshaun Jackson is kind of low on my list of guys that I want to bring in. And, you know, again, attitude matters to me. You know, I don't care how talented a guy is if he's going to be a dickhead when he gets on the team. I'm sorry. Bleep! There. Did I lose my explicit tag? Or did I get an explicit tag? Whatever. If he's going to be an idiot, I don't want him. If he's going to be T.O., I don't want him. Sorry. That's just me. That's just me. You guys might say, well, whatever it takes to win. And yeah, but, you know, you got such a good locker room element now. Why do you want to screw that up with a malcontent? I believe in the sanctity of the locker room, okay? I believe in the togetherness of a team. It's just, I believe in that strongly. And I think a guy like Reggie Wayne would be a great addition. Dwayne Bowe, not sure about. Marcus Colston or Meacham, probably yes. Let's see. We have 49ers for the win commenting. He wants to... let's see. Reggie Smith, he says, is a better cover safety than Deshaun Colston. Probably so. As far as playing the ball, I think that's right. Let's see. Resign only if the price is a bargain. Ted Ginn, other teams might pay him as he is one of the... something, punt returner, kick returners in the NFL. There was probably a missing word there. Pay the man commensurate with his value, which is extraordinary because he is the number one weapon on special teams for the 49ers next to Brian Jennings. Okay, he just is. He's one third of the team. His return capabilities are one third of the team's success. Pay the man. I don't care if it's a bargain or not. Pay him. Let's see. I mean, you know, you don't overpay for a special teams kick returner guy. You don't pay him quarterback money, but pay him top special teams return man money, okay? Period. Carlos Rogers, he says, is going to want too much money. I don't know about that. I think he's going to want commensurate with his value, Pro Bowl, six picks in the season, played excellent coverage all year long. If you can keep him, keep him, you know? And he's worth good cornerback money, maybe not top cornerback money, but good cornerback money. He says, wouldn't waste a franchise tag on Deshaun Goldson. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how what I think about that. You know, would they franchise Rodgers? The franchise tag, I don't have much that I think about that. Let's see. I would love to have all these guys back, but only discounted prices. I think there are better safeties than Goldson out there. True. That can be signed for less. And Carlos Rogers is only getting older and slower. I mean, he had one good year. Yeah. He's never been bad. He's not that old. He's not like Don Griffin old, okay? Free agency he likes and wide receiver, first tier, Vincent Jackson, Dwayne Bowe. Vincent Jackson does not belong in the first tier. I'm sorry. He's not that good. He's decent. He's not that good. Second tier, early Doucette, Eddie Royal, Pierre Garçon, Anthony Gonzalez. I would take any of these guys off the Colts. I mean, they're just that good. But, you know, how much did the turf contribute to their ability to make cuts and get open? But these guys can get open. They can get open. Garçon, solid possession receiver like Morgan. Gonzalez is a little bit faster, a little more lanky. And then he mentions Carl Nix and Ben Grubbs at guard. I would love to get Carl Nix. Oh, that would be nasty. See, I really do not feel they need to make a huge splash with two wideouts. No, you're right. And there are many late-round sleepers at wideout in this draft. It's hard to talk about the draft because that will be partly to be contingent on what happens in free agency. True. Very true. Let's see. Old Man Niner says no more than 2 to 3 mil per year for Ginn. I think that's fair. I think 3 mil is good. 4 mil, probably better. I would pay it. He one of the best return men in the league. I'm sorry. 1/3 of this team's success is worth the money. Morgan coming back from injury, only for a short-term deal, no more than 2 mil per. Just playing the numbers game, this would be a matter of Morgan versus Kyle. I think you're selling Morgan a little short there. I think they really missed him, and he's one of the better. He's the best wide receiver on the team, not Crabtree. Morgan is, period. He just is. He's got those low post moves, as I mentioned before. He's better than Crabtree. You got to keep him. And the injury is not really that bad. You know, his recovery was pretty quick. He's running routes now. So I think we'll bring in one veteran free agent wide receiver and one rookie wide receiver. And we will only keep two more. Or add Crabtree, that's three. We will only keep two more. So those two spots are out of Ginn, Morgan, and Kyle Williams. Someone's got to hit the road. Well, I don't think Ginn's going anywhere. I don't think Morgan's going anywhere. I don't honestly think Kyle Williams is going anywhere. I think they keep six. I don't think they only have five. I think they keep six. Ideally get Snyder back, but not more than 2 mil per short term. I don't think Snyder's going to demand that much money. I mean, it might be 2 mil per, but he's not going to demand like super Pro Bowl guard money. Brooks back, but might be too tough on our cap to pay him a long term deal. Probably true. Swain did nothing for me to want him back. Yeah, he's probably a practice squad guy. Slap a second round tender on Grant. He's worth it. I don't know. I don't even know what that means. Tenders and second rounds and whatever. Keep Spillman. Sure. Listen to your thoughts here about my earlier plan to slide Davis to right guard and insert Boone to right tackle. I still love this idea. I know Boone was the left tackle OSU, but he has looked good at both spots when SF used him, and I ultimately think his best fit at right tackle. He's not ideal in quickness or lateral movement for left tackle, and Joe Staley is, yet he's strong and nasty for the strong side. Right now, my perfect draft goes something like that. Okay, before we get into his perfect draft, I still think Anthony Davis should go back to the left side. He's pretty athletic. If you watch the tape on him in college, he's got a real quick first step. And he's Staley just is so much better, I think, at right tackle. I really just think they should swap those guys. Add Carl Nix, put him in the right guard, and oh, you've got something. Yeah, you do, boy. Oh, I'm sorry. Round one, he likes Kobe Fleener. Tight end Stanford, really a first-round pick for this guy? I don't think so. Stephen Hill, Georgia Tech, round two, 6'4", 4.5 speed, raw route runner, a baby Calvin Johnson. Nowhere near as fast, I don't think. I don't know a lot of these college players. So round three, offensive tackle Mitchell Schwartz out of Cal. Sure, why not? I like how you're just like Pac-10 guy there. No, I'm kidding. rounds 4 through 7, add some defensive players, cornerback and offensive linebacker. Okay, maybe. Possibly. Again, I honestly don't know what to think on the draft. I'm just not really a draft guy. So where does that leave us? Well, that leaves us 20 minutes and 45 seconds in. And what else is there to talk about? I don't know. We've got the combine coming up. I don't care much for the combine. As Trent Baalke likes to say, film doesn't lie. And I think that's true. When you look at these prospects, don't go by their measurables, okay? Don't go by all that crap. How did they play on the field? When the shoulder pads were strapped on and the balls were in the air, how did they play? Did they go out there and give everything they had? Do they know what they're doing on the field? Do they know what they're doing when they're playing their positions? Do they keep a level head? Don't give me measurables. Don't care about measurables. That's the thing I can't stand about the combine is it's pretty much, it's all measurables. And like, oh, whoop-de-doo. Show me what they did on film. That's what I want to see, and that's what the most important thing is. So, if you give me draft prospects, guys, pay attention to this. Tell me how they played on their teams. Don't tell me about measurables. I don't know, height, draft, or 40 time. I don't care. Really don't care. Tell me how they played for their team. Tell me how, just tell me how they played. Okay, that's it. I'm totally done. I'm totally out of ammunition here, and my laptop battery is about to die because I left my charging cable at work. Oh, good work, Jim. So the voicemail line, please use that voicemail line, 3477-GO-NINERS. That's 3477-GO, the number 9-ERS. Email 49ersFanCast@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at 49ersFanCast or at Indiana Jim for all the other non-49ers related stuff. Haven't been tweeting much as lately on 49ersFanCast for obvious reasons because there hasn't been a lot to talk about. You can also leave a comment on the post for this episode at 49ersFanCast.com. With all that being said, I bid you adieu.